What's going on, Clipper Nation? We're coming at you after a comfortable margin of victory.
Almost wasn't comfortable, but then we got it back on track.
We got them. We got the ship righted. Anyways, we're going to kick things off with a recap of that Clippers-Kings game. What we liked, what we didn't like, as well as just how we're feeling.
Yeah.
And then every single Wednesday, if you're new to the show, it's What You Say Wednesday.
Woo!
Put a little poll out on Locked On Clips Twitter.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Come follow. Come hang.
Entire Twitter. Anybody can view it. And this one's pretty interesting. Kind of a little bit of a seeding question. How you guys feel this deep into the season?
People are confident.
I love to see it.
Yeah.
Anyways, all that and more coming up very, very soon on Locked On Clips, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Didn't introduce us at the top, but you know us.
It's all
hopefully
good.
It's me, William, the opinion update.
And I'm positive Chuck Mockler.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, so the Clippers just went to Sacramento and won for the 257th time in a row. It was 105-87. There was no Patrick Beverley, which was a kind of assumed injury. He's going to be out a few games.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers pregame didn't
A few games.
Yeah, he didn't give a concrete timeline. He said he didn't know. Mm-hmm. He said it was going to be a few games.
Which I'm fine with at this stage.
This is a great time to miss those games. Mm-hmm. We got the Pistons on Thursday. I also am
understanding of them not fully knowing the timeline at this early on.
Yeah, for sure. So Shamet got the start. Also surprisingly, Lou was a late scratch. Lou Williams, due to personal reasons, he's celebrating the birth of his newest son.
Congratulations,
Lou Williams. So he wasn't there, understandably so. So Shamet got the start. The Clippers trotted out their 15th different starting lineup this year.
Incredible stuff.
Which is tops among the leading teams in both the respective conferences by 4. Will, what did we like about this game?
Well, Paul George almost had a triple-double.
Yes.
The stars did both show up. Paul George was able to add 21, 11, and 9. Like I said, just a single assist short of that triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
The passing game I loved from George.
It was great, and he was active on the boards early, too.
Yeah, and I feel like we've been somewhat critical of it recently. He's been
shooting poorly. He shot horribly in this game, but we'll get into that later.
There was some questionable decision-making, which we'll talk about in the next segment, but what's even more impressive is he didn't have a single turnover in this game.
That's nice.
He just made a lot of right decisions. Kawhi also 24, 2, and 7. Only two rebounds, which is interesting, but 7 assists, only 2 turnovers. These guys were able to keep the offense going with such a, I don't want to say grind, lack of depth, but we were out a lot of guards.
For sure. Yeah, this was a game that it felt good to win kind of no matter what happened because we were out Lou and Bev, which like kind of you said was like essentially 2 starting players.
Yeah.
PG only had 1 foul while getting those 3 steals, which is great, which you absolutely really like to see. It was nice. If you didn't watch the game, we're going to talk about his shooting later. But it is just, this is what's nice about having this caliber of guy, is that they find other ways to absolutely impact the game.
Yeah, truly impactful all the way around. Like I said, just being able to step up in that playmaking position, it's a huge reason why I'm not particularly interested in hearing trade ideas for guards.
Yeah.
I get it. I do get it because of the depth. But, I mean, this is DEFCON 0 when you have 2 starting guards out of the lineup.
And this was also, like, an anomaly. Lou Will had a child. So,
yeah.
Like, it's such a... They were also both perfect from the line, going a combined 13 for 13.
Something we liked all across the board was role player dudes stepped up.
The whole bench was great. The bench had a bounce back game.
And we talked about...
Without Lou.
We've talked about that a bunch, but like everybody who got a chance was able to step up and shine in that moment.
Uh-huh.
I got to kick it off with Derek Walton Jr.
He was player of the game for the Clippers broadcast. And I think anyone who watched the game would agree 100%.
4 of 5 from the field. Finished with 10-2-1. He just looked really confident out there.
He looked great. His shot is also a complete rainbow, which I love. It goes out of frame, which is one of my favorite things. No, he did exactly what he needed to do to kind of force the question of if he should get maybe tossed into a more prominent role when one of our other guards is out, which we'll get into in the second segment, which is kind of an extended recap talking about the guards. But the whole bench was great. 31-20 mm-hmm. in terms of the bench scoring, which is great. Jermichael was 2 of 5. All of his shots were from 3.
Yeah.
So 40% from 3. Mo, not a bench guy, but still a peripheral guy. 5 of 6, 12 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
He had real timely buckets to help kind of set the tone early, which was good.
Yeah, and he was just super active. He had one of the loudest rebounds I've ever heard on broadcast television. His hands slapped it so hard. Like,
yeah.
I was watching on a not the highest quality stream, and we were doing our best.
Everyone, so it's absolutely a honk for Harkless situation.
We're honking for Harkless into the new year.
Start 2020 off with...
If you're driving, just have your Lyft driver do it if you're indulging tonight, please.
For sure. Maybe we'll drop this episode right at midnight so you can listen to David Locke's voice intro it right when the ball drops. We held the Kings to 42% from the floor and 28% from three. The first half defense was 33% from the floor. But the biggest thing that was great was holding De'Aaron Fox in check.
This was incredible. He shot 3 of 10.
He was invisible.
Yeah. I was going to say, I looked because I was like, did they not end up playing him that many minutes? Because he has been injured a little bit during the season.
Yeah, he was probable for this game.
He played 31 minutes and it was, like you said, just completely invisible.
Kalamian kind of credited it at half. He said he was like one of three or four or something like that at half. He was just giving him different looks in terms of going above or under screens, and it was just disrupting his timing. It was great to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last thing. Zoo had 8 and 13 in 23 minutes, shot 50%, only picked up 2 fouls. This was a great game.
He looked really solid. Do you have anything else in the what we like section?
I don't think so. There's some stuff we didn't like, obviously, but this was a good game.
Overarching, the stars were able to make up for a disadvantage of playmaking in the backcourt.
Okay.
And everyone on the bench was able to step things up.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to cap off what we liked with a single point, which is just everyone not named Paul George or Kawhi who made a single three in this game shot better than 40% from deep.
There you go.
So congrats to the role players. And now we have to get into some stuff that we didn't like.
You sound heated right now. First, you can go ahead.
All right. So
I'm going to let you go off on this one because you seem to have a lot you didn't like about this game.
I wouldn't say a lot that I didn't like, but shooting slump continues for the Stars, man.
It was rough tonight.
Kawhi was 8 of 21.
Did all of his damage in the third. He was 5 of 7 in the third.
Yeah, he was 1 of 7 from three.
Yeah, that was bad.
It wasn't great. Paul George, even worse, 6 of 25, 3 of 14 from three. He had a couple of really awkward shots. I don't know. Brian Seaman kept saying hesitation on the broadcast.
Yeah.
And it kind of got in my head, man. what's going on with Paul George?
A lot of people were saying on Twitter specifically that maybe he's in his own head or something like that.
It seems it. Like, he, like defense, we've seen him put together some competent performances. Tonight, he was like biting on everything.
He did have 3 steals, though.
He did have the 3 steals.
Which is clutch.
I know.
And he was plus 12. But, no, the shooting is absolutely, I don't know if concern's not the right word.
Concern is not the right word because
it's a bit of a gray cloud.
It's still so bad that it can't stay consistently this bad.
Let's hope not.
But a couple of these shots were really, really awkward.
He took a really long two.
He had an open three and then like dribbled into a terrible long two. He did what I did like. I'll give him a little bit of a silver lining on this. Is he did get to the line a couple of times. Overall, he had 6 attempts at the line. He did look a little bit more aggressive, like looking to take a little bit of contact, looking into the rim, which, I mean, I feel conflicted about, but I feel good if shots aren't falling. You know, he's got to do something, right?
Damn, yeah. He was only an assist away from the triple-double.
We're just talking pure scoring because that is something that
we need him to do.
Paul George is, you know, should be shouldering, no pun intended.
It's not going to be every night that everyone who makes a three other than these two guys is shooting 40% from deep.
No.
I think it's the takeaway, too.
That's the big thing, is that, like, both these guys played heavy minutes on a Tuesday afternoon in Sacramento, and if every bench player doesn't step up, I mean, like...
But that's kind of what happens, though, without Lou and Bev.
For sure. Yeah. Like, we are down 2 starters.
That's kind of not the nice thing, but like with Lewin, we needed the bench to do that.
So,
but the minutes thing is kind of rough. 40 and 36 is a lot.
How long can we tread water if like both two stars at any given time are going through a little bit of an inefficient streak?
I mean, I feel like we've been kind of doing that for a decent part of the season.
Yeah.
Not that they haven't
so
been playing
poorly.
You feel
pretty comfortable at this point.
I'm just going with it.
I mean, everything else is so good that, yeah, it's weird because...
24 and 11, it's like, I don't know.
I'm concerned, but I don't know how concerned to be.
For sure. That's a good way to put it. Rashawn Holmes killed us in this game.
He was great.
22, 10, and 3 blocks. He's a monster. This game did involve an 18-point lead getting cut to 11 at one point.
I barely count that, though.
Okay, I'm just saying it happened. I was getting a little nervous. But all in all, I feel like this is a good win. We got out of there with the dub. We didn't necessarily steal this one because, you know, they didn't shoot well. And we, you know, we did what we needed to do to win this game. We only shot 33% from three and 41% overall. So it's not like we were shooting the lights out. How are you feeling after this win?
I'm feeling
good. We're kind of fresh off watching it, yeah.
I'm feeling good. It's nice. I mean, I harped a little bit on like the disappointment with some of the shooting splits, but it's ultimately the two stars added value in other ways when certain things weren't happening, and then everyone else on the bench was able to come up. When you're down two starters, I don't know what more I can help for. I'm pretty happy. It feels good to get like a pretty dominant win. We got to see some great minutes from rotation guys that we don't get to see as often. They stepped up big. I'm feeling good on this one.
Yeah, it was a good one. And also when we say two starters, we also fully understand losing out a starter. He's played so much, he's a starter. Some people, you got to clear that up for.
Okay.
It's not your fault. It's their fault. I'm feeling good after this one.
Yeah.
Comprehensive. This showed off our depth and what happens when it all coalesces very well. Coming up after this, we're going to be just talking what kind of the offense and the team in general looked like without Patrick Beverley and our biggest takeaways on the guard rotation. All right. So Shaman got the start.
That's right.
There was no Bev. We're not going to have Bev for a couple games. Shaman finished with 24 minutes, 46 seconds played, 9 points on 3 of 4 from beyond the arc, 3 of 5 total. Fantastic shooting.
Yeah.
2 boards, 1 assist, and a turnover. You know, performed pretty well when... Kind of Paul George has taken the front foot on assists, and so is Kawhi. I'm not really sure how many assists we expect from Shamit. You know what I mean?
It's an idea that we teased in like the off season. I don't need to see a whole lot of point Sham.
You're done with it?
I'm not done with it. Like I'm not giving up on
but
it.
It's just like fine.
It's just like why?
Yeah. Yeah, and the facilitation doesn't necessarily. I'm not sure if it always looks like this if we're down Patrick Beverley and we start Shamit. I think Paul George and Kawhi really kind of obviously acknowledge that, like, oh, we really need this distribution right now. We're down two.
Well, they just run sets guards. For those guys. Like, it just makes sense. They get more experience doing the reads and stuff. And Shamit, I mean, I think he's at his best when he's in motion, not like pulling up off
which
the dribble.
Which he was tonight.
Yeah, like not like pulling up off the dribble or like trying to pass coming off a screen or something. Like, I'd rather see him shooting in that scenario. So I'm not bugging on the assist numbers. I think he did what he needed to do. We got the win. He shot 60% from the floor, 75% from three. I mean,
yeah, I think more so this game showed, did Derek Walton Jr. do enough to that the next time Bev is out, he gets the start. He gets the 10-minute starter treatment.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit in the preview.
I wanted Magruder to start, and that was idiotic based on how much he played today.
I mean, I had said, is that wild? Like, I didn't know.
But he played so well that you don't necessarily need him to put up 10 points if Bev is out. It's obviously a huge boost.
Yeah.
But he knows how to run the offense. He only had 1 assist. But, you know, what are you going to do? I think maybe next time I would put, if it's just Bev that's out, maybe like the Walton starting minutes, I'm not mad at that. Like the starter minutes.
Here's what I like about the Walton starter minutes.
Because if Bev is out, Lou's still playing a bunch of minutes. You just have Walton out there starting the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Lou's obviously still going to be playing, you know, 20 plus minutes or whatever. But if Bev's out, I do like the idea of Derek Walton Jr. starting. Obviously, he's a little bit smaller. His one attempt that was blocked seemed like something that could maybe happen more often if he was to receive, like, some more magnetism, you know, from defenses.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because he is a little bit undersized.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of him in a starting role. I do think tonight he looked a little bit more confident creating his own shot than, say, Landry sometimes.
It felt like every time that he was letting it go, it was going to go in.
Yeah.
It took a while to get to the hoop because it's a giant rainbow, but
yeah,
it looked like it was going, and it did for the most part.
And he, like, you know, yeah, he pulled up off the dribble. I don't know. He just looked good in a getting his own shot and, yeah, filling in as a role player should. You know, I'm not bugging about him. Like, we don't need Derek Walton Jr. to be running the offense.
No, know? Not at all.
We need a guy who can put the ball on the floor, you know, like, without turning it over and put up, yeah, if you can get it double digits, great. But I think 8 points for that, you know, 10-minute starting.
Yeah,
role,
no turnovers.
When we're down, you know, like when we're into for the sure. guard reserve, because I have to put that asterisk. I'm not saying this should
be
a regular.
Oh, of course. No, not at all. Yeah, we're talking like the third guard,
I'm not
fourth
mad at
guard.
It, you know, and that could change, but as of right now, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
I'll tell you what's a pretty telling sign. They evidently trust him more than Rodney Magruder because we played a team that has an borderline elite backcourt, and Magruder got 16 minutes and Walton got 19.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so they might like Walton a little better.
I think different tools.
For sure. Different tools. That's fair. No one could really clamp up Buddy Hield. Except, I mean, he played okay, I should say. He had a 20 piece. He had 20 on 41% shooting, 3 of 10 from 3. So, like, no one really went off, which was nice guard-wise for us, especially De'Aaron Fox, obviously. So, you know, Walton was doing the right things out there. He was where he needed to be. Did this game change how you feel at all about the guard situation?
I don't think so, man. I really don't.
We had that question from the Jag about, like, picking up a guard, and this was kind of a good game of, like, someone on Twitter was also like, does this game show what we need? Another distributing guard. And I was like, well, this game is such an anomaly to have Lou and Bev out.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know what I mean?
But isn't the takeaway that the answer is not necessarily?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I said. This was before the game, so I didn't have the benefit of that. I could have waited, but, you know, that's not a good move.
That's not how Twitter fingers move.
That's not how Twitter fingers move. But yeah, it made me feel a little easier about it, I guess. It made me a little more, like, okay with it. Not that I was worried before, but it was like, oh, all right. Like, I didn't also necessarily know. I liked Derek Walton Jr. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he was going to look this good in extended minutes, but yeah, he looked good against a team with a good backcourt.
Totally.
That is, one of them is fueled by, I don't know, hating the organization or whatever's going on.
Yeah, what is, I don't know.
I don't know what's going on over there, man. They got to figure it out, though. They're not, they're on an 8-game losing streak. And again, the weird thing, Rashawn Holmes continues to play better than his season averages in points and rebounds during this 8-game losing streak.
Yeah. I cannot fathom what's going on with the Kings. I haven't watched enough to know.
They only had two guys in double digits. It was Hield and Holmes.
But how have they turned away from, like, the core of what their identity was as a basketball
team? We noticed, I put this out on the Locked On Clips Twitter, there before this game and maybe after this game, they were dead last in pace.
Yeah.
In the whole league, they were 30th.
And they've dealt with some injuries, obviously.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, hope they get it figured out soon. Actually, I don't know. Do I? I don't know. But no, the guard situation, this was a great game, I think, for maybe the people who were like, oh, maybe we should get a trade or something like that. This one felt good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope it doesn't have to happen again. Like we said, like, this isn't a preferred thing.
Oh, being down two starters?
But the on-the-spot efficiency, you know, kind of reminiscent of last year a little bit.
Yeah.
It felt good. Coming up after this quick break, we have the What You Say Wednesday poll discussion. Hey,
What'd you say? It's Wednesday.
So after playing 34 games, I put this poll out this morning, so it was before this Kings game. After playing 34 games, the Clippers are 23-11 and sit in the third seed. They have the easiest remaining schedule in terms of opponent win percentage. Do you think the Clippers will finish better or worse than the three seed? Vote and reply with your reasoning. The percentages. Pretty lopsided on this one. Also, if you ever want to vote, just check out Locked On Clips. I don't even think you need a Twitter account to vote.
Good stuff.
Better won. 89% of the voters believe we will finish better than the three seed, leaving a paltry 11, the morose group of humans who lump themselves into the worst category. I will say, there was a bit of an error. It was early morning when I put this out. I did not put stay in the three seed, but Nikki Kay, a journalist who covers the Clippers, she asked, what about staying in the three seed? I said, all right, that's fair too. Are you surprised that it's this much better? Because better is, realistically, probably the two seed.
Is it?
You think we can go one?
There's a lot of games left.
There are a lot of games left.
I mean, we're only approaching the halfway mark right now.
I agree.
We have had Paul George missed 11 games.
Shamit's missed 17.
Kawhi's missed 9.
Yeah. We're only 3 games out of the first spot. Half game out of second.
That's just not unfathomable to me.
And the Nugget, we are at 35 games played. The Nuggets are at 32. And the Lakers are at 33. So, you know what I mean? We've got a couple on them. So you think there's a chance maybe we go one?
I mean, if I'm listening to 89% of Clipper Nation.
Which I often do.
It's not insane. I don't think think it's a goal or a priority at all.
Not at all, which I'm happy about. I think top four should be the goal if there is a goal.
But 3 games doesn't seem unattainable at this point.
No way.
Especially
with, we kind of got the CZ schedule coming up. Not easy. I shouldn't say that's disrespectful. Perceived to be not as challenging.
Yeah. I mean, we'll almost be done with our back-to-backs.
Got another one this weekend. Got that classic 12:30 p.m. back-to-back.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday.
Which I believe is what, Memphis to New York?
Yeah.
Are those both? Oh, shit. I'll have to cut this.
So that's going to be a fun time. It is kind of, I mean, I like that part that really gets me. The big caveat is that we, in terms of win percentage, we got the easiest schedule remaining. But also, as you're to your point, there's a lot of games left.
A lot of games left.
We've seen some teams go on runs in one way. The Warriors are somehow making noise. There's like weird buzz.
When you asked me this morning, I thought there was no way that we could really go farther than one spot up.
Yeah.
Now, given how many games there are, it doesn't seem... Yeah, like I said, it doesn't seem out of reach. Worse than three, I see there less space to fall. Like, I would be kind of shocked if we fell to 5. And to me, it would be one of those situations where it's like it was last year, where it's like the last night off. Yeah, the last night of the regular season is.
To be fair, though, the 3 spot and the 5 spot are separated by 1.5 games. So it's not, that's tight, but the Mavs are the 5th spot and they've played 33 games. So 6th spot is 2 games away, and then 7th and 8th is a little more separated with 5.5 and then 9 between the 3 and the 8th seed.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think stay the same is where, if I would have been smart enough to put that as an option early this morning, I think is where I would have voted.
3 seems pretty reasonable.
3 seems reasonable. Based on what the universe has decided to deal us in terms of health, fortune, it doesn't seem crazy to me to think that maybe 3rd is kind of a byproduct of dealing with some of this continuity and some of
the 3rd isn't wild at all. 3rd is 3rd is solid. 3rd is safe.
Yeah. If we're 3rd, we're playing the Jazz in a 7-game series as of right now.
All right.
I don't like it a lot.
Would you rather play the Jazz or the Thunder right now in a 7-game series?
I don't know. Those both seem like not very fun options. The West, I don't want to talk about West playoff series because that's just going to be stressful.
Okay.
But the seeding, you know, we got a question about this for the last episode. And it does feel like we have a lot more road games on the back end of the schedule. We had that kind of heavy lifting of Staples Center had a lot of heavy lifting earlier in the season. So I think we'll get a chance to prove on our road record. We're 10-8 on the road. We have this nice stretch coming up where we got 3 in a row. We got Pistons and then that back-to-back, so that's good. But yeah, the 11% that thinks we're going to drop, there were some people in the comments who were talking about like it was basically like 3-5 or maybe 4 or something like that just because of the continuity and stuff.
Gotcha.
There was no real like this team sucks or anything like that. There were some people who were voicing discontent about the blown leads and everything, which part of me can, you know, I mean, blowing leads is not very fun, and that's a fair thing to kind of have qualms about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 24-11.
24-11. That puts us on pace for what? I don't know. I can't do the math. I think. So what do you think? What do you think wins the Western Conference this year? I was thinking about it this morning.
I have no idea.
Do you think it's around 58 wins? Do you think anybody ends up brushing against 60 or above 60?
I don't know. I think 58 probably gets it because I think maybe some teams don't necessarily care about the one seed as much.
Or your record if you've locked it down.
Yeah, like if you can't move anywhere in the standings, it's like, what's the issue?
Time to chill a little bit. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking today.
Maybe the Nuggets might go for it. They seem like a team that wants to win the regular season.
Yeah.
So do the Lakers with how much they're playing their guys. The minutes against the Kings was a little like, ugh. When you brought that up, I was like, I don't know. I hope that goes down. But that was an anomaly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think...
What do you think? Do you think it's 58 wins? Or do you think anyone gets 60?
I don't see anybody winning 60 games right now. Things could change. I just don't really see anybody in these top, let's say, 9 spots taking a huge slide backwards in terms of like being able to compete.
I mean, the Mavs are 5-5 on their last 10.
Yeah.
Nuggets are 9-1, so you got to assume they're going to regress.
Do you, though?
Yes, I do. Constantly. and the Clips are a, you know, respectable 6-4. So even at barely 500, we're still holding down that 3 spot.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to play better than 6-4 rate ball for the rest of the way. Feeling good going into people will be listening to this on the first day of 2020.
Yeah, feeling good.
Hope everyone had a great New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I'm going to eat some soup dumplings, go to a friend's party.
Stay safe out there.
I hope everyone stayed safe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you're listening
to this, on New Year's Day. Maybe listen to this in the drunk tank.
I hope not.
I wonder how many... Avoid getting arrested. I wonder how many police stations listen to this podcast.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Interesting note to end the show on.
We digress.
Thank you so much for listening. On Thursday, we will have for you a preview of the Pistons-Clippers game.
Whoa.
We'll have a little Thirsty Thursday where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for, what we want to see more of.
It's Derek Walton Jr. and how Mo Harkless played.
Derek Walton Jr.
And remember to honk for Harkless. Please. This is a honk for Harkless day.
In this house, we honk for Harkless.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland.
Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on iTunes.
End of the year, end of the decade. We really appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much.
It's so great to be able to talk Clips with all the fine folks out there.
I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.